example, the body of Christ talks about Christ as a head and the believers as members coordinated by the head. It is a relationship, a vital relationship between our head, Jesus Christ, and each of us. As long as we are closer to the head, we are closer to each other, right? It's as long as we are connected with the head, we function as a normal body. Otherwise, we can be, I don't know, just fake members, or I don't know, the people that just try to consume without giving anything. We have to think about that as members, if we are connected with our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bride of Christ talks about love and sacrifice from the Lord, right? And also from us, love and obedience. The relationship between the Christ and the bride and the church is so intimate that nothing can separate it, especially because Christ died for us. It is a sacrificial love. The temple of the Holy Spirit brings a different dimension here. We have, you know, the Holy Spirit is the one that is the owner of the church, and also brings holiness, service, and worship. It is the way that actually we function. If we look at the Old Testament temple, you will see there that actually only priests could worship. They could serve in the temple. For us, it's easy to understand that because Peter said that we are a holy nation. We are a people of priests. All of us, we are priests in God's eyes. And we should bring our worship and our love to Him in our worship. God's household talks about authority, dedication, and involvement in the well-being of the family. It's the image is like a large farm or an enterprise where every member of the family contributes to the welfare of the family, bringing with their gifts and talents a well-being to that enterprise, to that farm. Coming back to our local church, we know that the father was the head of the household. And here in the local church, the Lord appointed elders and deacons to function as the spiritual authority over the local church. It calls also for dedication, first of all from the elders and deacons because they are the burden bearers, but also from every member of the from God's family. We have to contribute to the welfare of our the local church. Maybe you ask yourself, I don't know, it's what I should do in the church because I don't I don't have any kind of implication. I'm not involved in the local church. It's the work, the Lord's work is so big, is so complex and so inviting that no one can say, I'm not involved in the local church because I don't have anything to do. Maybe you don't want to accept your spiritual identity. You don't want to accept who you are in Christ because we know that everybody in the moment when we were saved, we received at least one spiritual gift to be used for the local church to be to grow and to develop. Maybe you don't know your spiritual identity, and for this reason, you should start learning from the elders in the church what who you are in Christ and what we should do for His kingdom. And also, we have involvement for every member of the local church. The local church shouldn't have consumers, only givers. You know how rich we can become when we give to each other, when we support each other, when we become complementary to each other, in the moments when some of us are tired, others are coming with the energy. When somebody is distressed, somebody will bring a song of joy and a word of encouragement. You know how much blessing we can have in this way? I was working for such a long time with many local churches. Many times I heard, you know what, I'm not involved in my local church because nobody is asking me to do that. If you are a member in the body of Christ, you don't have to be asked. You have to function. That's it. It's not something that you need to know very much. You have to function. The hand doesn't say, oh, I don't move because nobody's asking me to move. Hey, it's moving because it's God's way that hand was created. You should understand who you are in Christ, to accept your identity, and to become part of the well-being of the family. And also, God's people talks about leadership, rules, and protection. And it is very important for a nation to have leadership, a godly leadership. It is very important for that nation to have good laws and also to have a good defense system to protect the nation. In the local church, the elders are doing all these ministries. They are leading, then they are bringing the God's commands and God's requirements for the believers. And also, their duty is to protect the local church from the wolves that come inside in as sheep. It happens, you know that. Or from the teachings from the world that are not from the Word of God. Or they are anti-God. So we have these images, and because the church cannot be described only one term, those metaphors are just pieces that can be put together to show how complex the church is. In this morning, I will read from 1 Corinthians 11 to 16, because the Lord, in His wisdom, didn't bring only metaphors about the church, and also described and asked us to act in a certain way. And this morning, I would like to read from 1 Corinthians 11, from 2 to 16, to talk about the rules and regulations when we worship the Lord for His glory, because that is the purpose. That 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting with verse 2. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I deliver them to you. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, that the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. For that is one and the same as if her head were shaved. For if a woman is not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it is shameful for a woman to be shorn or shaved, let her be covered. For a man, indeed, ought not to be covered his head, since he is the image and glory of God, but woman is the glory of man. For man is not from woman, but woman from the man. Nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. For as woman came from man, even so man also comes through woman, but all things are from God. Judge among yourselves. It is proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered. Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. But if anyone seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. The passage is very complicated, very difficult to explain, not because it's not clear, Paul's teaching, but because in our culture and in our mind, we are biased by the things around us and by the example of our other Christians. And for this reason, we take this passage many times in a wrong way. I was praying about this. I had a long night last night. It was longer than I hoped. But I hope that I will understand a few things about worshiping the Lord for his glory. First of all, you see, verse 2 is a word of praise. It is wonderful because Paul is interested in the way we worship in the local church. It's his desire to do it in the right way. However, because he addresses some of improper practices in their worship, he wanted to let them know that he was satisfied with their putting into practice. People, see, we have 10 chapters in 1 Corinthians. The church in Corinth was a special church. Has a lot of challenges, a lot of struggles, a lot of problems, and also so many blessings. If you read 1 Corinthians, actually, you can talk about your local church and about some aspects in your local church history. And when I studied 1 Corinthians a long time ago, it was so important for me to understand how I can apply what happened in the first century, in the 50s or 60s in the first century, up to 2000 or so. Actually, it was in the 90s when I did this study. And I realized that actually many things that they were applied to the first century Christians actually can be applied to us today without contextualizing them. Because that is the tendency today to say, okay, it happened in the first century. Now, in the 21st century, is different. We'll find out that actually is not as different. Because Paul had three concerns. First, he was committed to honoring God by applying the principles of scripture to worship. He was interested in that. Worshiping is an act of submission and celebration, and an act of joy and obedience is an act of giving yourself to the Lord, mind, heart, and body. And work with everything you have and you are to bring him up, to glorify him. That is worship. And it's not only singing here, singing in the worship group. It's part of it, but it's not all of it. Worshiping is that moment when we open our scriptures and we ask God's blessings to understand his word and to be illuminated by the Holy Spirit to understand the message. It is a time when we meet together and we pray together. It is a time when we give to the Lord. It is a time when we share about our needs and about our burdens. You know, the real worship is not only an act, is a lifestyle, and should be part of our life for each of us. The second concern that Christians should be regard for one another in public worship. We worship together. We worship. The Lord is our object of worshiping. At the same time, we have to do it in a very, very sensitive way, that we don't hurt each other and we don't turn our mind from God to other things. He was also concerned that the church not damage its witness to a watching world. Maybe we don't realize, being so caught in our local church activity, that people from outside of the local church are looking at us, our neighbors. I don't know how much do you realize how often your neighbors look at you and they know that you are Christians and you are followers of Christ. In Bucharest, I did an evangelistic outreach with the whole local church. We were 300 plus people, and we divided ourselves in three groups. One group said, we don't want to go to, I don't feel comfortable going and talking with people about Christ. And I said, okay, you stay in the chapel and pray for us. Another group said, okay, I will go in the parks and around our assembly. There are three or four different large parks, and they said, okay, we'll go there and we'll share the gospel with the people around us. And another group went to the neighborhood houses and buildings, high-rise buildings in the area, and we said, okay, we'll do that. It was Sunday morning. I mean, we disturbed the regular traditional service, and we said, let's do this. We left. They said, we'll be for 2 hours. We'll be going to share Christ with people around us, the two groups. You stay inside and pray for us. And after that, we will come, and we'll share with you what the Lord did in this time when you were witnessing. You know what happened? After 2 hours, there were people who were faithful and they were praying inside. We came back, and many of us came with the people that accepted Christ when we shared them with them the good news on the neighborhood homes or in the park. And you know what some of them said? We are watching you for such a long time. Why you didn't come earlier? For us, it was a painful lesson, but it was a blessed lesson because it encourages us to be more effective in sharing Christ with people around us. I would like you to remember this story, and maybe if the Lord put on your heart to start praying for your neighbors and to start trying to share Christ with them, because they are watching you and can be a good testimony or not such a good testimony. The second aspect is the divine order in verse 3. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Christ is the head of man, the husband is the head of his wife, and God the Father is the head of Christ. We have here three observations: that the headship is a relationship, does not imply superiority or inferiority. We have to realize that is that women are not second-class citizens. Men are not second-class citizens if they are under the lordship of Christ, or if the women are under the authority of their husbands, or the members in the local church under the authority of the elders or deacons. My friends, it's not here about being superior or inferior. It's not about that. It's talking about order. It's talking about a certain way of living in this world that we can become people that are really, really involved in people's life, and we can bring glory to God. The second observation is that the members of the Trinity are co-equal and co-eternal, one in essence, nature, power, action, and will. This is from our creed. We believe that. We don't see that Christ being inferior to God the Father, or the Holy Spirit being inferior to Christ or to the God the Father. No. They are co-equal, co-eternal. It's the same. They have different roles. That is the same nature. You have to understand that men and women have different roles. They have different roles in the family. They have a different roles, in the local church. It's not about being superior or inferior. It's not about being bigger or smarter or the others. Actually, I know many women that are smarter than their husbands. But it's a fact. I can give you examples. I can give you names, but I don't have to. Yeah. It's not about that. It is about God's order. You have to realize that. It's God's order. You have your roles, and your wife has her roles. And if people don't accept their identity and their roles, they will become fighting against each other, because the roles would be, instead of being complementary, will be in opposition. We have to understand that. This is God's order. If we want to be good worshipers and right worshipers for the Lord, let's accept our roles and leave them for His glory. The same, the headship in the family of church does not imply being superior or inferior. Honor your head for the sake of biblical teaching, verses 4 and 6. What is the meaning for the first century Christians? First of all, Paul was concerned in public ministry in the local church. He was concerned about that. It's a man with vision from God. He if we read the, this passage with carefully, we realize that actually he brings women to a higher level that it was common for that culture. In Paul's culture, women were second-class citizens. And Paul talks about being equal. Here is not a contrast. He compares men and women at the same level. Read the passage very carefully and you realize that. It's not about trying to oppress women or trying to keep them under a certain dictatorship. No, it's just Paul brings women from here to here and say, okay, now you have this, you are equal in God's eyes, but you have different roles. And you show them, including in your attitude and your the way you dress yourself. He's talking here about Christians meeting together and women taking a public part in the service. You know that in the Jewish culture, women didn't have the right to go in the court. They stayed in the women's court in temple. They couldn't go beyond that gate to come in the place where the men were worshiping. And Paul comes here and he said, no, hey, we are equals. Let's work in our equality, doing our personal roles. He says to these Corinthian Christians to be careful and to follow that order because it's the properly functioning in full capacity. It's the, what the Lord wants from us. And we have here a woman should wear a head covering and a man should not. And the principle in the Christian meeting, both men and women should show respect and consideration. It is easy. But some commentators are saying, no, it's here the covering, head covering is woman's hair. No, it's not. It's the same word in Greek for men and woman, uncovering. It's not about hair. Some of us, I'm sorry. It's not about that. It is about something to put on your head. That's it. Many times we are so caught on this idea. I see that in many other churches now I don't see anybody covering their head. I'm sorry. I visited churches, monasteries, and mosques. And in all of those, my wife and my daughters had to cover their head. You know that? Yeah. And there's no compromise there. They had to cover their head. I know that is only a tradition and people are keeping that. But it's, you know, those churches and those religious organizations have a doctrine there that says, okay, through the way we are dressed, we honor or dishonor God. It's good to think about this and to understand what is going on. In verses 7 to 12, we have the creation argument from Paul. Headship has been true since God created the world. We know. God created Adam from dirt. Yeah, from dirt. And because he felt alone and he needed help, God created a refined the human being out of Adam. He created a woman. And then we have the first love poem in the Bible, in Genesis. Look, this is bone for my bones and flesh for my flesh. In Hebrew, that is a song. God's order is based on the fact that man was created by God for God. And the woman was created for man from man. It's a fact. We don't have to deny this. And priority does not imply inferiority. The fact that Adam was born before Eve doesn't mean anything from the level we are as men and women. It's not about superiority or inferiority. It's not about that. It's about God's order. It's like, you know, going on the street and you have a stoplight, and you say, oh, I don't need to take care of this. I don't care about it. I just go. What happened? It's like what I saw in Cairo when people were closing their eyes and they were driving to the intersections without and honking. That's it. No, it's a lot of accidents can happen. The Lord doesn't want this. That is God's order. Because where is order is protection. Where is protection is peace. Where is peace is well-being. You have to put all this together and to realize that actually God's order is the one that helps us to live a decent life and also to continue to develop. And submission is not inferiority. The term submission in Greek is a military term. You know that, right? It's a term that talks about being under the authority and being protected in this way and helped to grow and develop. That is the idea of the term submission in the Greek language. My wife works with women and teaches about those things, and I was surprised once when she was talking with another lady, another Christian lady, and she said, okay, you know what? The Lord is asking us, the women, to be submissive. That woman changed a lot in a second. She became so angry and so me submissive. I was shocked. Me submissive. Up to that moment, for me, she was a godly woman. Her husband is a wonderful man. And they are getting along very well. But she cannot take the idea that she can be submissive to her husband. And I asked her jokingly, if you are not submissive to your husband, to whom are you submissive in order to be protected and to be to have a good life in Christ? To Christ. Oh, I'm sorry. It's the Bible says to be submissive to your husband like to Christ. She missed that part. She teaches Sunday school class, believe me. She missed that part. Come on, let's read the Bible, the whole plan of salvation, and accepted it. It's for our protection, it's for our own good. Verses 13 to 15, honor your head for the sake of nature. Paul is, he was a special man. I love this guy. I know that he was guided by the Holy Spirit when he wrote what we have in the Bible. He wrote more than that. But you know what? He's asking, make your own judgment. Decide for yourself. Look around you and see what is natural. Nature here is how his culture felt about what was natural. What is the common sense? This is the term here. What is the common sense here? For women to be shaved or for the men to wear long hair? If it's a shame for a woman to be shaved, especially in that culture, you know that only prostitutes shaved their hair. If that is a shame for a woman to be shaved, why do you try to be whatever you are not? Try to be submissive to your husband. It's not a big deal. I had a discussion with my daughters. Adriana and I have three daughters, all of them well-educated, knowing theology because they went to Christian colleges, and they came to me and they asked me, Daddy, you are a professor of theology. Please tell us why we cannot preach in the church. Good question. I said, great, wonderful. Okay, show me in the Word of God where you can find a place where a woman can preach in the church. And I helped them with some Greek because they were not, they didn't know a lot about that. But I told them, okay, here is in for male or female. Here, male or female. I encourage you to do this kind of study. And it will help you a lot to understand God's order. That is wonderful. It's not man's made rule. It's not man's order. It's God's order. And that is wonderful. As regenerate children of God, their desire will be to do what God was calling them to do. I was, as you heard, I was speaking at the men's retreat and Friday and Saturday, and Friday night and Saturday. I don't feel bad, but I was kind of harsh on the men. Right, guys? Yeah. I was straight to the point. I had to. Because in my opinion, the man should be the head of the household. He has God's authority, and he has to be the priest in his house. I believe that. I think that is very important. If the man doesn't fulfill his role, his mandate, sometimes it's possible for the woman to take his place. And that is, you know, a situation that you, a compromise situation. You just survive in this way. The man should be the priest of his household. And I told the men that actually they should be submissive to Christ and their wives should be submissive to them, because in this way they can protect them. They can protect their wives. They can help their children. They can protect and encourage them to grow. Do you remember what happened in the Moses' time when he asked the nation, he asked Pharaoh to let him leave for 3 days with the whole nation to worship the Lord in the desert? Pharaoh said, oh, sure, go. You man, you can go for 3 days, it's no problem. But you leave your children, your wives, and all your material possessions. Do you remember what Moses said? We don't leave here even a nail. Everybody will go with us. That is our duty, is to go together to worship the Lord according to his ruling and the way he wants us to live. Also, Paul didn't want the public worship of God to be corrupted and thereby damage the witness to the world. People were watching the church, especially because it was a new movement. And many people were looking, what kind of strange creatures are those meeting together? But they look to us in the same way today. For some of the people around us, we are Martians. We are strange people. Yeah, because they... Somebody told me not long ago, you are an educated man. How can you believe in God? I believe in God because I'm an educated man. I told him, I read, I study, I meditate. I encourage you to do the same. I lost him. But anyway, it doesn't matter. It's just an idea that actually we have this ability to look around us and to see that actually the Lord created a certain order for our protection. And the last verse talks about honoring your head for the sake of apostolic authority. In this final argument, Paul appeals to his apostolic authority. He said, okay, you know what? Other churches accepted what I'm telling you, Corinthians. You should do the same. We don't have to argue. He is not arguing because he knew that that is God's will. That is God's order. It's not a man-made order. Conclusions. We honor God when we worship him according to the principles he gives us in chapters 12. 14, Paul sets down biblical principles to guide the people of God to worship him correctly. We have to worship him according to the principles he gives us. Yeah? It's basic. We are not free to make up our own rules for worship. Another conclusion, there is a divine order regarding worship. We have the order created from God. And also, every man honors Christ by worshiping him in a way that is biblical and not pagan. And the wife honors her husband by acting like a woman and not like a man in worship. Ladies, don't try to be like men. It's not nice. You are beautiful, you are delicate, you are... Be women. I encourage you to do that. Yes. Don't try to be what something the Lord didn't make you to be. Do you see how ugly is that? This in our society today, when people with no common sense are mutilating children, changing the sex and the sexual orientation. Don't try to fall in the same trap on the spiritual level. Be careful. The Lord wants us to be men and women, and to enjoy being who we are. And third conclusion, cultural standards are relevant to worship practices. The Corinthian Christians were not to act like pagans in the way in which they worshiped God. For the men, that meant that they did not have to cover their heads in worship. For the women, that meant that they would not act like men, and so they would cover their heads in worship. It's basic. I don't have time to go in different theological aspects, but you know what? We live in a very confusing time. And we make it even more confusing because we are caught in that trap that is called worldview. Let's ask the Lord to give his light and to understand the biblical view and to see ourselves, to see our neighbors, to see the creation with God's eyes. He loves us and he is ready to reveal himself and to make us understand what is going on. Don't miss this point. May the Lord work in all our lives and help us to grow in knowing him and in trusting him and in worshiping him, because he only deserves our worship and our praise. Amen. I know I have a few more minutes, and Brother Fred asked me to tell you a few things about the ministry. So I will be telling you about that.
Some of the people might need to collect their children from Sunday school at this time, but go ahead.
Okay, sure. It will be only for a few minutes. Our ministry is based in Romania, but is also extended in other countries in Europe. We teach at the Timotheus Bible Institute. Adriana teaches English as a ministry tool, and I teach ecclesiology, pastoral theology, biblical counseling, and other courses. And we are doing conferences and ministry conferences in family setting, in leadership setting, and serving the Lord, and other things like that. Adriana is involved in working with women in women's conferences and Bible study for women. Both of us, we are involved also in counseling. We teach and we encourage people to come closer to the Lord, to have their problems solved. And I'm also involved in preaching and teaching and in radio and TV ministry. We just came from back from Romania 2 weeks ago, and in January and February, I was already on 3 different TV stations and on the radio to talk about the different aspects of the God's work and also personal involvement in the ministry. Last year, when the Romanian government asked the universities to teach online, because of the COVID, starting from January, our dorms were empty. And we prayed the Lord and said, Lord, how we should do? Just keep those rooms unused. And shortly after that, started the war in Ukraine. And thousands and thousands of refugees started to come to Romania. And because we were in Bucharest, and only in Bucharest is a the Ukrainian embassy where people could take their passports to go to other parts in Europe, many of them came to Bucharest, and by God's grace, we were able to house over 300 Ukrainian refugees, mainly old people and mothers with small children. And we helped them 24/7. The Lord provided resources, financial resources from here, from the States, and from other parts of the world, and also human resources, TBI students and graduates and Christians from the local assembly we are ministering to that is very close in the same place with the Bible Institute. Over 40 people were available day and night to help those people that are coming. They were coming midnight, 2 o'clock in the morning, where they had to leave for the airport or for the bus to go to other countries, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. And these dedicated people, they just gave their time and energy to help that ministry. It was a blessing for many people. We have good results from that. Adriana and I were more involved in the counseling part and in the supervising the ministry because we were the older couple and in the place, they called me the priest and Adriana the priest's wife. And they asked me to come for confession, and I did that, yeah. Many of them, they were Eastern Orthodox Ukrainians, and they needed the good news. It was unbelievable. A couple, a large family came to our place with their children. If you have 3 or 4 or more children, you could leave the country as a family. Otherwise, men should be enlisted and should be fighting. And because they had more than 3 children, this family came to our place and they stayed over the weekend. And they said, "Okay, let's go to church." "Oh, no, we don't go to church. You know that this is a Christian school, and that we have to do that." Okay. They came, and when we finished the meeting, we had in Ukrainian and Romanian posted songs and Bible verses and so on. They were so excited. And after we finished the meeting, the man started crying, and he told me, "You know what? I didn't want to come, but I'm so glad that you asked me to come, because I lived in Ukraine, in my hometown, a block away from a Baptist church. And many times I was invited to go there, but I never went. But when you asked me to come, and when I saw your love and your desire to help us and to be with us, I realized how much I missed for not coming to the church." I encourage you, my friends, to help people when they are in need. And tell them about the real motive you are helping them, because you want to spread the love of God. And it was a great time for our ministry, but we started to have classes again in campus, and we stopped having refugees in our place, but we continued supporting at least twice a month with humanitarian aid, thousands and thousands of dollars across the border, because we have graduates and students at the border in the assemblies around the border, and they were just crossing the border and sending them to Ukrainian Christians that they were distributing to other people. The next trip will be in 2 weeks, and we are praying for those, because they are going to that area where is the war zone. Please pray for God's work in Romania and for us, as we will be leaving in after Easter. We will be back to Romania. And please continue to be the men and the women the Lord wants you to be, for His glory. Thank you. Sorry, guys, you didn't tell me that.
That was a great message. That's an awesome message. Did you all get a lot of snow?
And just a little bit dusting.
Oh, that's
all
good.
Morning, all morning.
Oh, well, that's good then. It didn't interfere with the men's retreat.
Yeah, it was not good weather.
Oh. How are you doing today, Brother Matt?